What is going on, everybody out there in the internet land? It's Draped in Gold, your one-stop shop for NXT content, officially on Stand and Deliver, the path, the road, the street. We don't really know what we call it there, but it's okay. It's your boy, Flubble Boy, is in the booth, but as always, I'm not alone, being joined by the award-winning, the award-scoring, real Jack Farmer. How's it going on, sir?
Man, I am doing good. I had a nice cup of coffee this morning. I sat and I did the thing where I drink my coffee and I sit on the porch. Yeah. And I just enjoy the morning. Did one of those old man things. Of course, I also threw out my back, which is also an old man thing. But let's not talk about that.
This is actually a deep cut. I was going to ask you what kind of coffee it was, but I think real OGs already know what kind of coffee you're drinking.
Bro.
I'm actually doing coffee too. This is actually every so often I go to the local Ralph's, just puts all their coffee in a giant bag and go, it's on sale. So I have one of those like 40 ounce like satchels, just coffee here today. But I'm good. I'm caffeinated. I'm ready, man. I'm jumping ahead here, but it seems you're going over to Philadelphia next week. Is that true?
Yeah, we talk about Stand and Deliver. Before you can stand, you got to fly out to Philly. That's where I'm going. I will be in Philadelphia, heading out on Wednesday. Going to be there through Monday, not going to be able to stick around for Monday Night Raw that Monday. But yeah, I'm super excited. I'm going to be doing commentary for a couple of shows over at GCW's The Collective and going to enjoy that as well. Seeing a lot of other shows there. So if you're someone who's going to be in Philly, hit me up. I'd love to meet all you guys. And I'm a big fan of saying hello to folks. So I'm going to be it's funny, Flo, but I had never been to a WrestleMania until Dallas. And now this will be three in a row that I get to go to. I'm super excited about it.
I'm so happy for you. Several friends. Shout out to everyone in the chat. Mike Wexler and Draped in Blue. George Hermosa opening day is less than a day away, depending on what team you are. If you're a Dodgers fan, you guys already had your opening day last week. Facebook, YouTube, LinkedIn, Twitch, X, and Instagram Live. Drop a comment and say hello. But let's get into what happens this week on NXT. My man, Unbazikba, Ilya Dragunov, is kind of having a good and bad old time at Stand and Deliver. He's been defending his NXT championship against Tony D'Angelo. So this match against Tony Stack Sorrento attuned to pretty much a warm-up match for the Mad Dragon, but his hand got kind of messed up here, Jack. You see that?
Absolutely, because this was not a warm-up match. I think what was great about what Channing Stacks Lorenzo did is he knew what his job was. He knew what the goal was. It wasn't about getting a win this week. It wasn't about trying to defeat the champion. It was all about trying to injure that hand so that Tony D'Angelo could pick the pieces. I thought this was executed perfectly. The family is just chugging along, firing on all cylinders, and really executing their game plan. Unbazikba is like a puppet, if you ask me, just dancing along to the beat of the family so far. And I think Dragunov's in trouble, Flobo, because he just cannot seem to get out of rhythm from what the music the family is playing is playing.
By the way, it's kind of interesting that Channing Lorenzo comes out to Tony D's old music. That is something that only astute fans can pick up, like myself.
Very Roman Reigns of him, right? Like when he was coming out to the Shield music after the Shield was no longer using the Shield music.
Seriously, I think that's a lot of the reasons why a lot of fans didn't like Roman Reigns. I'm not going to be like Roman Reigns was my favorite guy back then. I won't lie, but I would say I was always positive on Roman. But him coming out to the Shield music was like the corniest thing about him. That and the big dog, like little like the jaw closing and it circling around, was kind of lame too.
Those were very lame, but the blue contact lenses, I think, are probably the peak lame when it comes to the bad years of Roman Reigns.
The exception of Rey Mysterio, has contact lenses ever looked cool in wrestling? Ember Moon, Ilya Dragunov.
There's always I don't know. I'm not a fan of color contact lenses. Not a fan of them. George says suffering succotash. You know, honestly, I think if everything else was clicking for Roman Reigns during that time, we would have let suffering succotash go.
Yeah. It's one of those, I call them, like, you'll see this so often in years in wrestling where the writer do something that shoots for the fences, like Usi or something random like that. And if it hits, it becomes a viral moment. And if it doesn't, it's like, oh, he just said, thank you. And then it comes a slow build. But I think Roman just got raked over the coals for it. So,
yeah, I think if Drew McIntyre said suffering succotash today, we'd be like, oh my God, this guy's hilarious. He's knocking out of the park. It was just bad timing. I got to say though, Channing Stacks Lorenzo.
Please.
I tweeted this.
If
the calendar year goes from WrestleMania to WrestleMania,
it does.
Channing Stacks Lorenzo, and I like to use all three names the way God intended when we talked about
was that his communion name with Stacks? What?
Lorenzo, you use all three names.
Okay.
I think he may be an under-the-radar, underappreciated, most improved wrestler of the year. I think
really?
He has had a great year. He's gotten in phenomenal shape. The fact that he's in the ring with the NXT champion and it doesn't feel like he's completely out of his depth, as well as his ability to interact and help run the family. I think that when you look at the checkboxes of what you look for and most improved, Channing Stacks Lorenzo may be on that short list.
That is interesting. I got a question in the chat from Michael. I'll get to that in a second. But after the match, though, Ilya Dragunov and the most improved wrestler and his fan, I can't believe you're saying that, offered him a special invite by Luca Crucifino. He's going to, I tried writing this down, the Cynical, the Citadel, the extra meeting place. Question for you, Jack. They're obviously going to have a stare down, sit down next week, but would you want to be able to have that match next week if you had the chance to really injure the hands closest and deliver as possible?
Yeah, that absolutely. I mean, you would want that to be right away. You'd want that. In fact, I was thinking that Luca Crucifino was going to have a match next week with Umbazeke Bar to help continue the damage to the hand. But you know what? We also know how the family's been working. And we also know that Tony D isn't against attacking someone outside of the NXT premises. So I think if Umbazeke Bar isn't careful, the damage to his hand may be worse than what happens in a match.
So for those of you who watched Rip and Go for years, thank you so much. But I remember when I started saying Umbazeke Bar, Jack Farmer and friend of the show, Neeson, looked at me like I was crazy. But now it's common parlance. That means a lot to me. The one German word I learned is
common parlance. What
yes,
a weird word.
That's right. I have dictionaries or word of the day calendars.
I believe that'd be thesaurus.
Damn. All right, let's get into this. Michael Burgess Jr. says, good afternoon. Question, was the Ridge Holland situation real? Is he retiring? It's not really a question, but I'll get to that right now. Ridge Holland comes out to the ring and says, I'm taking an indefinite hiatus from wrestling. And to be honest with you, the CWC didn't know how to act. Some people were stunned silent. Some people cheered. Ridge Holland in ring has had some bad luck. Out of the ring, if you guys watch anything on the social media channels, has been tagged as being someone who is dangerous. So the question I have for you, Jack, real or not real, would you buy stock in Ridge Holland right now? Understanding that he may potentially be done forever.
No, I would not buy stock in Ridge Holland right now because he's retiring. And if he's stepping away, then I don't think it's smart to invest in something unless I have a reason to believe that the stock is going to go up. Now, it might go up. He may come back, may come back better than ever. But I didn't see anything today during this event that made me think that now is the time that something is around the corner. He may come back.
He
may come back the same. He may come back worse. There's nothing that says he's on an upward trajectory. I do want to give a shout out, by the way, to @WrestlingHumble on Twitter with the tweet of the night saying, Mark Henry has done some irreversible damage to retirement speeches. And I think that is absolutely true. I think we were all, and I think maybe that's why this retirement speech didn't maybe hit the way we expected, because we were all waiting for the other shoe to drop, right? We were all waiting. Okay, no. but what's going to happen?
I actually wasn't. I was a little different for that, but continue. I'm going to cut you off. Let me finish your point.
But I think that people were waiting for something from this beyond just the retirement situation. And so I think that's one of the reasons a lot of people didn't know how to react. I think that's why a lot of people were sort of slow to embrace him and to say good luck in your future endeavors, whatever the case may be. I mean, as far as if he is done, if we're taking it all at face value, if he was, and he was getting a lot of bad press, we'll say, on social media, if it was harming his ability to have a good life with his family, then maybe it's best for him to step away.
I'm a little surprised. I thought you were kind of saying that you'll buy stock in it anyway, hedge your bets, or try to pump the stock up like to the moon or GameStop sort of thing. Here's the thing about Rich Holland and everything he's done, those seeds have been planted. What I mean is he had the match or the gauntlet against Gallus, and no one was rooting for Ridge. They're rooting for the guys who had an unfair advantage. So if I'm Rich Holland, I know that happens. I'm making my retirement a press release. I'm not showing up to work. These people are ungrateful of my skill. They're ungrateful of what I want to do. I want to retire. I'm retire full board. No.
Well, there's a lot of people who have made a lot of money being unappreciated, right? There's a lot of people who have been very great about, even though the world may not like them, they're still able to do very well. I look at someone like a Baron Corbin who has done it so well that now things are starting to turn for him. And I'm sure we'll talk about Baron Corbin in a little bit, but with Ridge Holland, I believe that when he was on the microphone, I believed him. When he was being when he was talking to me, I believed him. I think when he wrestles well. It wasn't connecting though, and I can't explain why. It's when I saw him, I wasn't invested. There was nothing I could look at and say, this was the problem. I can't say it's because he wasn't good on the microphone or he didn't look the part or he wasn't good in the ring. There's nothing I could say was the problem, but for whatever reason, what he was doing in NXT since his return and since the Brawling Brutes broke up just was not connecting.
You hate wrestling. You hate wrestling.
So if it's causing him problems, it's not working, it may be best to step away, get your life back together. I'm wishing him the best. And if he returns, I'd be happy to see him come back. And I hope he's more successful next time around.
I mean, yeah, best of luck there in your retirement, man. I didn't really buy your merch, unfortunately, but maybe come back and have some other merch. As I say this as a retired comedian, but talk about people who are wrestling and having a bad time. Hey, I retired. I had a speech.
Your salmon jacket.
I do have a salmon jacket. Oh, wait a minute. Dang, he knows. Cedric Welter's in the chat. Let's talk about your favorite wrestler of all time, Lola Vice, who just seems to be making the worst decisions I've ever seen of someone on a roster in a long, long time. A month after losing the NXT Breakout Tournament contract, she decides to have an open challenge, which is not the worst thing in the world. I mean, open challenges is how you get yourself on TV. But it's responded by one of the greatest of all time. Nope, the best of all time, the boat. Natalya, and Natalya actually gets the dub. I say I'm surprised only because jet lag makes me tired, but apparently Natalya was not. Lola Vice taking L after L after L. What's going on in Vice City, Jack?
Lola Vice, I think, underestimated just how valuable having Electra Lopez next to her was, and having someone like Electra Lopez who could help guide her career was. If you remember back when they were together during their Electra Lopez's time in NXT, Lola Vice was winning matches. She was getting into good situations. She was winning breakout tournaments. Then when the two separated, suddenly that guidance wasn't there anymore for Lola Vice. And suddenly she had to try to find her own way. And we're starting to see how powerful having someone who knows their way around can be. That said, I think Carmen Petrovic now having Natalya potentially by her side may be a huge change of fortunes here. We talked earlier about when do you buy a stock. I look at Carmen Petrovic and I say Carmen Petrovic has just aligned herself with the best of all time. That makes me go, maybe she has something that could be coming up. I know the world loves Lola Vice, but Lola Vice needs to figure out what's wrong and fix it before that becomes a stock worth buying.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. I'm with you here with the Carmen Petrovic thing. And I understand also our NXT Breakout Tournament participant. And I also understand that Talia has a very drive to take young talent under her wing. But her track record hasn't really been the greatest. I understand why you would line yourself with someone more famous than yourself. I mean, I could do it all the time. Tony Danza, let's do it. Let's work together. But at the same time, for Carmen Petrovic, Natalya really isn't someone that's getting you dubs either? Question mark?
Well, I mean, Natalya got the win, so we can look at all we want. I mean, what have you done for me lately is always the question, right? What have you done for me recently? And if Natalya got the win this week, then look, she's on a win streak. She's doing well. She's beating someone who is a former breakout tournament winner. She's beating someone who just had a championship match. Shout out KOD. Yeah. I think Natalya is someone you'd want to hitch your wagon to. Again, Lola Vice, I think, is popular. I think that she's great. I think she's got all those all those things you want in someone from NXT. However, she's on a down skid. She's in a slump, and it's a dangerous time to be in a slump because it is stand and deliver season, and it does feel like there's a lot of talent coming back. So I hope Lola Vice finds a way to get back into the thick of things. And again, I don't want to jump ahead, so I won't start naming names, but we've got a lot of people.
Name those names.
Well, you got Sol Ruka coming back. Ooh. You've also got Jasmine Nix debuting. You've got a lot of stuff happening where more names are coming up. And Lola Vice is going to have to find a way to really stake her claim into her spot and start getting wins. It's an uphill battle for Lola, but I think she can do it.
The Lola, so Lola Demon 669 says, the Lola upset people in the back. She needs to be pushed. Did you not see her video? She said she takes down anybody in a women's locker room. Hello. I mean, that would piss off a lot of people. You know what I'm saying?
Well, I do think what Lola Vice is doing really well is where she may be lacking the TV time is she's making up for it on social media. And then she is making these videos and she is calling people out. I think that's something that makes Lola Vice someone who does make me not want to give up on her, because, you know, it's very easy to say, make the best of your minutes. But when you're not getting minutes, to make minutes is a very valuable skill.
Yeah, there's a lot of things, a lot of upsides to Lola Vice. If I was going to be in the stock market, which I don't, I probably would, the farmer stock market, which I don't, I probably would keep buy and hold a few shares I have. But also in the women's division, you mentioned Jasmine Nix, her first NXT non-level up match, I guess TV debut is what Vic Joseph called it, against Thea Hale. Hell yes, got the win for Thea Hale and Chase U. But you know, that JC Jane was hanging around ringside trying to, you know, stir the pot a little bit. What is going on with this? Is it going to have any kind of resolution to this whole dust up between JC Jane, Thea Hale, and Chase U?
I see how it is. When JC Jane is there saving the company, making you money, selling calendars, and you can take advantage of her skills, then it's great that she's around. Suddenly, she's trying to make a name for herself, and it's like, whoa, what are you doing at ringside? This is crazy.
Yes!
You can't have it both ways, Flobo.
Yes, you can.
They never thanked her for saving the school. They never gave her like a round of applause. They're just like, oh, great. You paid us a bunch of money. Bye. Welcome to the alumni section.
I think they were grateful, but JC started going off on her own under her own volition. That's a thesaurus word too.
She went off on her own because she was like, what do you mean? You're just going to start charging kids tuition again and you're not going to fix the things that made the school a problem in the first place? All they did was recruit more people and they went back to their old ways, Flo. But I don't blame JC Jane for saying, look, I tried to help this school out, tried to do my best. You guys are clearly taking advantage of young people. And so now she's saying, I'm going to go get my own friends. You know what's better than learning business at a school? It's learning business from people who are already successful in business, like Kiana James. I like that JC Jane is getting real world experience.
Okay, you mentioned them. Kiana James and Izzy Dame attacked Thea Hale after the match as well. What's their whole stake in this? They're not Chase U graduates. They just hate people. Why does everyone hate Thea Hale, brother?
They, like I said, are trying to help people build smart business brands, and they can't have people go into these schools that are taking advantage of them, putting them in debt. It's a very volatile political situation when it comes to student debt here. And I think Kiana James is going to be on the right side of history when we look back at this moment. But Thea Hale, look, she's talented.
I can't believe you said that. What? The right side of history?
Thea Hale is someone who I think is, I think she's fired up. I think she's one of the most talented wrestlers in the locker room, but I think she's got a bright future. She can get away from Chase U.
I think you're right. Maybe you're right. And we'll get to the reason why as this thing goes on. I really thought the end of Chase U was going to be nigh, and they're going to figure out what they're going to, each of these individuals are going to do with there's no school. But hey, class is back in session, so I guess I'm happy. No one wants to see an education fail, right?
Well, that until Andre Chase can find his next grift.
Chase Steaks. Sign up today. I will definitely buy some. Deep cut if you get that reference. All right. Let's talk about our top of the show. The man that seems to be having the rocket strapped to him, Dijak, opens the show. And I didn't realize how non-parallel his knees are. Anyway, had a match against Sean Spears, the chairman. And frankly, it was actually, to me, the match of the night. Both men had nothing to lose. Both men went full bore. Dijak riding a wave of momentum gets the win with a little help from some Joe Gacy shenanigans at ringside. Two questions for you. One of them, obviously, thoughts about the matchup. But Sean Spears felt like he was going to be on the biggest tear ever in NXT, and he got saddled with the early loss.
I think the story is less about Sean Spears and more about Dijak and just how talented he's become and how big of a deal he's become. I said last week, you could feel like the crowd really starting to understand just how great Dijak is. And I think that we saw that the fact that they beat Sean Spears, who Sean Spears is incredible. Sean Spears is great. He's one of my personal favorites, by the way. Great entrance themes everywhere he goes. Always a new one. Agreed. But when I was watching this match, I was realizing we always talk about how big Dijak is. Sean Spears is just as big as Dijak is. Why don't we talk about how big Sean Spears is? He's big fella.
He's always sitting down. Nothing. I guess you're right. We don't talk about how big Sean Spears is.
You win this exchange.
No, he's beefy, man. I give you that.
Because he's just as big, but he is always sitting in that chair of his. That's why they call him the chair, man. Right. But I thought that Dijak, I always say, I want to root for Dijak, but I just can't root for a guy whose name is Dijak.
What? Why not? It's a cause I support. Like, it makes sense to me.
Cause you support?
Yeah. I donated to Dijak.
I can't wait till there's a character named Di Flobo.
Hey, you might be German. I don't know. The Zeke bar. But you're absolutely right. Dijak's on the tear. I think... we always say this on the show, whether you like someone, it could be metaphorically or actually, would you buy the merch? I think it's the first time I would buy Dijak merch because now I understand what he's about. And I think whatever division that Sean Spears is in, I would assume the North American title division, I'm on board the entire guy because everyone will see as we get onto the other match tonight, looks like somebody I want to buy it now stock-wise. So fantastic match for me, my favorite of the evening, but Joe Gacy, I swear, I don't know what his deal is, man.
Joe Gacy's fun. I'm loving Joe Gacy right now. He is just off his rocker. He is just a nutcase. You don't know what he's going to do. You don't know where he's going to show up. And it's fun. He is a fun character. And the fact that Joe Gacy has gone through so much to get to this point, I mean, on a real level, I mean, this guy went from being a love everybody cult leader to a using magic to fight Braun Breaker to... all the stuff in between, and now he is just knocking this out of the park. Joe Gacy is absolutely a treasure in NXT.
You know, it's kind of unhinged that him kidnapping Braun Breaker's dad is like fifth on the list of the crazy things he's done since being signed.
Yeah, remember when he like burned the Hall of Fame ring and gained Rick Steiner's power?
No, that happened.
No, like he threw the ring into a fire.
Oh, I was like, wait a minute. That's like,
yeah. I just like to pretend he gained Rick Steiner's power.
I was like, that's very Isle of Dawn of you, Jack. I was kind of upset.
Oh, yeah, that is more of an Isle of Dawn thing. She did steal people's power. That's right.
So on the other side of this, not really a tournament, but kind of a tournament thing, Josh Briggs is another person I have a lot of the stock invested in. Takes on Duke Huston, who definitely looks the part because he's 6'5", but Josh Briggs is 6'8", and that was the difference. I thought was some inches, like a boot to the face. Josh Briggs gets the win, but more importantly, the North American champion, Obafemi, willingly agrees to having a triple threat match at Stand and Deliver. So many questions coming out of this one, Jack. North American television, hottest division in NXT, true or false? Obafemi, who can take them down, and why would he pick two opponents? And three, Duke Huston, man, can't buy a win to save his life.
That last one's not a question, but the
the
North American title is the hottest division in NXT right now. It absolutely is. First off, the fact that there are a ton of people who are trying for this championship, who all have about as good of a chance as anyone else of getting the championship. It's the North American championship division in general, I think in many ways, has been what a lot of us older folks remember the Intercontinental Championship being. I know
old people.
Yeah, you know, Gunther's done great things with the Intercontinental Championship, don't get me wrong, but this is the North American title. When you look back since like Carmelo Hayes had it, it's been the most exciting, most fun division really in WWE. When you think about just the fact that it always feels like someone could lose it or win it at any given time. The breadth of the division, the depth of the division, it's really been a very, very, I think it might be what a lot of us think of as the Intercontinental Championship for a lot of us older folks who remember it being the actual workhorse title. So yeah, I think with a bullet, it's the most entertaining championship in NXT right now. And as far as Obafemi goes, I think he's smart enough to know that you got to sell tickets and you got to make people want to see your matches. And I think he's smart enough to know that no one believes anybody could beat him one-on-one. So you got to make it a triple threat. Otherwise, there's no way anyone's beating Obafemi. Now, something could happen.
The Rula. Kind of a weird moment here. Kind of a weird note for me. Dijak mentioned that he was really self-tanned and looked pretty good after last week saying that he can't be Shaft because he's white. What's up with Dijak's skin? Why does that thing keep talking about?
Well, other people bring it up, I think, in some cases. But yeah, I don't know. He wasn't the only one talking about it, by the way, this week, who was talking about tans and things like that.
Yeah. Let's get into it. Thanks so much to Kill of Demon 669, always dropping in with a bit of ray of sunshine. So Bron Breakker and Baron Corbin talk about the sun and their tanning. In fact, the name of today's episode on audio is going to be Well Tanned. That's already been confirmed. Bron Breakker, natural sunlight. So much he's turning actually red or purple. Has a little bit of a backstage interaction with some potential opponents, but it had to get through the Alpha Academy. So let's talk about the actual match, our main event. Bron Breakker, Baron Corbin, the Wolf Dogs, take on Alpha Academy. The stakes are this. Alpha Academy, if they get the dub, they get to be added to the match and stand and deliver at the same time. If the Wolf Dogs come out on top, it still remains the winner of the triple threat match. That's going to be next week. Alpha Academy gets absolutely destroyed there, bruv, by two tanned men, or one tanned man, one guy who's not tanned at all. Jack, walk me through this. If you're Alpha Academy, man, that must hurt, huh?
Well, to the tan point, I think it's one untanned person. One person was untanned. The other one was tanned enough for two. So it does equal out to about two tanned men, I think, is how the averages work.
Tanned men.
By the way, that segment, how entertaining are the Wolf Dogs? I mean, the whole, like, I knew you were going to show up pale and weird.
Yeah, he is pretty weird.
Possibly the best line of the night. The fact that he had the sun in the can. He's like, I got some sun for you too.
I can't buy into that. I'm sorry. It's so dumb. It's something that you would write. That's how dumb. Sun in the can. Really?
He probably got a little tan out of the can too. So.
I also hate fun, by the way. So that's probably the reason.
Well, that's true. But man. My question that I got to have for you about the Wolf Dogs, Flobo, is it spelt D-O-G-S or D-A-W-G-S?
It shouldn't be spelt at all because D-A-W-G-S is so 90s. That would be an offense to anyone. But then again, Retro is coming back. No, I have it down in my nose as D-O-G-S.
What if it was D-A-W-G-Z?
Stop. You yeah. And the Hardys and the Dudleys, stop with that. Stop.
The Wolf Dogs.
No one talks like that anymore.
Yes. Get my JNCO jeans on. Let's do this.
JNCO jeans. I actually wanted those. My mom saved me from a lot of embarrassment. So, Mama, I love you. She goes, what? Forget Garby from New Traffic. She stopped me from JNCOs, so I appreciate her.
You know, sidetrack, but I know we got to hurry up, but I had a conversation the other day about how fashion, you get old, but there are certain things of fashion that are just objectively horrible looking. Why do people go for it? And it happens every generation. Of course, the JNCO jeans are objectively horrible looking, but yeah. They were so popular. Nowadays, you've got certain fashions that I look at. I'm like, this is objectively horrible. Why do people want to do this? In any case, Wolf Dogs, they're unstoppable, man. They're unstoppable. This is, I know. Bron Breakker looks like he's going to the main roster soon. I hope he stays in the Wolf
soon
Dogs.
He signed the contract. He's my talent.
Yeah, I hope he stays. I hope Baron Corbin goes with him if he does make the move. I think this is such a winning combination. I mean, they looked unbeatable. I mean, there was a moment where Bron Breakker got so much speed. He was going off the ropes multiple times. I thought he was going to kill Tozawa when he hit him. He was going so fast. And then just so much stuff from this team, and both guys contribute. It's entertaining. They're great in the ring. they're incredible. I think that they need to go the distance as a team.
I don't like it. I never liked it. But since Jack loves people who love tanning, I guess we'll get more of it. And it's a possibility.
You think I'd be tanner if I were like tanning that much?
I don't want to know when you're not tan. I never saw you without a tan there, Jack.
I'm blending into the wall. What are you talking about?
It's like, I'm trying right now.
I look like two floating eyeballs right now. What are you talking about?
Like those old video games, you like pan the camera the wrong way. You're just like, they actually may retain as stands and deliver. I actually would raise other questions about what you would do with them if they were the ones to retain, because they did look unbeaten. Otis got tabled. Sorry, Von Wagner, I'm taking your word. Otis got tabled pretty handedly there too. Like, how do you go back to Monday and go, let's get a win, guys, after being destroyed on Tuesday night?
To be fair, I think on Mondays, no one was really believing them and getting wins either.
Dang. Not like that, though. There's losses, and then there's losses. You know what I'm saying?
Yeah, this is a pretty handed loss. My question to you is there anyone in this tag team situation that you believe is a better fit as the tag team champions than the Wolf Dogs?
Anybody. Akira
Tozawa and Otis. We got this.
And Maxine Dupri there. No, I would... This sucks because I see now I'm on board with Axiom and Nathan Frazier, but I don't see them winning. I see them as being champions. I see them being top of the division and being so fast that no one can stop them, but I don't see them actually beating the Wolf Dogs. I'm like torn there, but I don't know.
I feel like the entertainment factor of the Wolf Dogs is just so great right now, along with what they do in the ring. I agree. I'm a fan of Axiom and Frazier. Of course, anyone who's followed the show knows that we definitely are heavy in our UK love, so you know they're gonna get a little bit of love regardless. But I don't know, Wolf Dogs, I just can't see getting toppled.
Yeah, even LWO is kind of like a hey guys, just don't break up, man. We got some wins because they that win loss record is pretty bad too.
I mean, but really, all the teams in this except the Wolf Dogs, the Good Brothers don't exactly have the greatest of records before coming to NXT either.
True, but I kind of see them, like you're asking what I put or what I would see. I mean, those two. I think the OC are kind of on a redemption tour. It doesn't necessarily mean the titles. I think that the spirit of competition might be the reason why they would do it. But you're right, like meat versus meat, they seem the most likely, but I don't think it's going to happen. Yeah. I wouldn't put money on it. As we roll on to our next segment. This brings us to this week's general manager pick. You're always looking so fresh in that shirt, sir.
I look good when you're the GM.
Hey, general manager pickers were asked my broadcast colleague questions as if he was the general manager of NXT. And this one is kind of a general one, but I really want your take on this. As last week, we talked about the schedule of Stand and Deliver within WrestleMania weekend. Though it looks like NXT will continue to be another Tuesday night delight when it moves to CW, you may have the chance to move NXT to another night in time. Would you? And if so, when?
No, I'd keep it right where it is. I think it's a great spot, and I think that it's something that fans are used to now, especially having been here for a while. And I feel like time changes are always difficult. It's always a pain. Even SmackDown, when it moved to Friday, was a bit of a headache. And if it leaves Friday, it's going to be a headache. Fans like Tuesdays. They've been tuning in on Tuesdays. Just leave it to Tuesdays.
Yeah, I would say Draped and Gold would look very, very different if it was a Thursday night delight. Just putting it out there.
Right. How would it look different?
Because if you have the Draped and Gold on Friday, or be 5 days behind the following, or 6 days behind the following Wednesday, which would totally make our show different, I would think.
That's true.
Yeah. How? Okay.
By just explaining exactly what it is. Okay. Yeah, I got you.
I got two more for you. So the first thing that I am totally upset about is that we have a new host for Stand to Deliver a week and a half from now, and it's Metaphor. They somehow outlasted Chase U and Hank in Tank to be the host of Stand Deliver. I get it. The group has been on fire. They have Supernova sessions next week. They're going to be from the moon or whatever. But I hate the fact that Noam Dar still gets chances to be all entertaining and stuff. But Tui.
They're the best host you could ask for outside of Pretty Deadly. I mean, these guys they're entertaining. They're great. Like, I think this is perfect for them outside of them actually having a wrestling match. Shout out on Rare Wrestling Girl. Thanks for rolling through.
Hey.
Keep it at the same time. I agree with you. But I like Metaphor. I like Metaphor in this spot. I think that anything they do is entertaining. They're also a little bit provocative. So they provoke is what I mean to say. And so I think it's going to be an exciting time having him there. I look at who else was there. Hank and Tank, all due respect, not necessarily hosts. Idris and Malik, you know, a little too positive lately. I want to see somebody who's going to provoke some issues. And Chase, you, as you know, they just take advantage of people. So I'm a metaphor guy.
Okay, all right. So here's the thing. Maybe the whole world forgot, but I thought last Legend would be being with Trick Williams and escorting him to the ring. Why is she still hanging on Metaphor? They're a bunch of losers. Trick Willie is on the way up. You know what I'm saying?
Well, one, that could still happen. They'll both be there. You know, they have to have their own lives, Flobo. I mean, you look at Seth Rollins and Becky Lynch. They don't just hang out together all the time. They've got their own business schedules they've got to deal with. But also, I think Lash Legend knows she could do a little better.
Wow. Wow. Otis, there's a chance of you still. putting it out there.
Otis. And by the way, I like how Otis looks like he's with Maxine. And they kind of act like they're together, but he clearly is going after Lash right in front of Maxine. And Maxine is like, oh, yeah.
I mean, Alpha Academy, man. You know, I don't know what that means. I have no idea.
By the way, I love Trick Williams, too. I think Trick and Lash, I thought that was a bigger moment. I do agree. I'm kind of surprised they didn't follow up on it more because that felt like it kind of broke the internet when it happened.
So let's talk about Trick Willie. He didn't have a match this week. He was on Prime Target, which is a series I actually enjoyed, I guess more during the pandemic where there was like nothing else to watch. But we brought it back. It's Carmelo Hayes, Trick Williams. He had some fantastic guest appearances. Ciampa, CM Punk, about the gravity of this main event. This has been my favorite story in professional wrestling, full stop. And now it looks like it's going to come to a head at Stand and Deliver. In fact, Trick Williams didn't really know this. It's from South Philadelphia, which is pretty much his backyard. Jack Palmer, Prime Target always seems to hit. It don't miss. But this one seemed a bit different.
Yeah, this is incredible. These Prime Targets, every time they do these, they knock them out of the park. I feel like there's got to be some kind of way that WWE should do some kind of series or special where they just do all the Prime Targets and then the match. Like maybe a Netflix playlist one day of these kind of things, because they're so incredible. And it's one of those things I almost wish they would do more, but I'm glad they don't, so they feel special. You know what I mean?
Absolutely. Definitely.
But these are just incredible the way they put these together. And this is, you're right, going to be one of the biggest matches of the week. And I think that that's saying a lot when you look at what's happening WrestleMania week.
And when Carmelo wins, I can't wait to see everyone's heartbreak. You know what I'm saying? Just, you don't miss.
Carmelo don't miss, man. I'm Team Carmelo. I love your Trick, but I'm Team Carmelo.
There you go. And as we take our leave this week, we have one more question to ask. Now time for our favorite segment of the show. It's the MVP of NXT. Oh, yeah, MVP of NXT, where we ask, who's the one that stuck out for you, person, tag team, or backstage staff member? Jack, who was your number one?
I got a feeling we'll agree on this one. Dijak, for me, is the MVP of NXT this week. Got a huge win against Sean Spears, did it pretty convincingly as well, and got himself in position to get a North American Championship shot with a ton of momentum. He has been on a tear. He continued to be on a tear. Got what may have been an upset win this week and is now positioned for gold. Dijak with a bullet for me.
Yeah, absolutely. I can't stand the fact, but I agree with you. I mean, Dijak was able to win his match and somehow put his jacket off to being sweaty, which I can't do, and be on commentary too. The man is a number one contender, or at least one of two, for Open Family's title. I mean, this guy is strapped the rocket, buy the stock, buy the merch. It's Dijak season, baby, and that makes it fantastic. Now, Draped in Gold is going to be back next week, I think. I'm not sure. It's WrestleMania week, but you won't be back because you'll be going to Philadelphia, Jack. But in the meantime, if somebody wanted to contact you or book you or say what's up or meet and greet out there, how do they go about doing that?
Best way to do that is to follow me at Real Jack Farmer across all social media. And of course, make sure to watch GCW's The Collective, where I will be doing commentary on a couple of shows. So you can hear my voice talking over pro wrestling.
Jack Farmer, man, you're gonna be too famous to be on the show. I gotta like raise your rate. Probably get paid double from now.
Been that way for a while, but here I am.
Yeah, you do. I already know you're the main event. I just set things up. You know what I'm saying? It's like it's all good. It's fine. Pictacles.com. It's WrestleMania season. Stan Deliver season. Let me know who you think is gonna win our next week. If we don't do a full show, we probably have predictions for Stan Deliver. I'm still working on that, but you'll get the announcement either way. So it's up to you. Please, please, up to you to follow me at Flobo Boys on X, where I can give you an update what we're going to do for that season. Woo! Until next time, though, Jack Farmer, please hear the words.
Do your best and be yourself.